This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The Paranormal Classroom. All right. I can't wait. I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Happy Tuesday.
Yeah. Welcome. It's election night. Super stressful, but
well, we'll have fun.
Distract
tonight.
Ourselves.
Yeah. We'll have fun tonight. It will distract us from the drama. Yeah. What's haunting you?
Well, one of the things that's haunting me, besides election night, is my buddy Mark. Shout out to Mark in Chicago.
Oh, Mark's fabulous.
He said, after listening to our episode about La Llorona, he said, this just sort of screams of postpartum to me. Like, just sort of a general postpartum depression or representation of that. And I thought that was really poignant, and yeah, it bears some weight for sure. I know that I've struggled with postpartum depression and have been treated for it ever since, going on 18 years. So yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting take.
It's great. It's very profound. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
Super smart. I can see that.
How about you?
I have two things that are haunting me. Can I do both?
You can do one and a half.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Of course you can. You can do 14 things. I don't care.
It's a whole podcast.
Things that are haunting you. Just a list of stressors. Like daily. Amanda's daily stressors. Brought to you by Amanda. And life.
I wonder if anyone would listen. Mark, Jenny, Dad.
I'd be forced to.
You'd have to listen to.
Locks the doors and I can't get out.
Okay, the first thing haunting me goes back to our episode on astral projection.
Okay.
You know? And it's something I was like engaging on Facebook, and this woman named Enchantress Rosa said something that just really stuck out to me, and I've been thinking about it all week. She says that sometimes what we think are ghosts, or what we mistake for a ghost, is someone astral projecting through that
which almost
area.
Creeps me out more than the idea of a ghost, if I'm honest. Like, I think a ghost is like, I don't know why, but there's something about, like, if angels or God is watching me in my day-to-day life, that does not creep me out nearly as much as, like, Big Brother or, like, closed circuit TVs and surveillance.
Yeah, I get it.
Surveillance,
it's like
a voyeur, humans. Yeah.
Or a stalker.
Yes.
Or yeah.
Yes. And there's nothing I can do about angels, ghosts, etc. Like, really, if they want to come in, they're coming in. But a human being who could potentially have, like, real logical effect on my life. Mm-hmm. And also, there's more exciting places to go than my house with me. It's not Disneyland. I know you'd go to Disneyland.
That's where I go.
Yep.
That's where I go.
But that's an interesting take. And my husband and I were talking about that concept of maybe it's not ghosts kind of idea earlier this week, and thinking, well, I know there's some other people agree that it could be a window into a different dimension or a different reality.
Yeah.
That we, like, let's say your house is haunted. Well, what if you living in your house right now are haunting somebody else who lives in that house
That's
in a
wild.
Different time and space.
That's wild.
And sort of like that Nicole Kidman movie, The Others, which is a fantastic film. So that, who knows? We don't know.
I don't know.
All kinds of potential theories. But if you are astral projecting to my house, like,
get a
you
hobby.
Gotta get out more. Like, way out. You can go anywhere in the universe with that skill. There's got to be something better.
But thank you, Enchantress Rosa, because yes, that I really like got my brain ticking.
For sure.
And then here's the second thing. And if you don't stop me if you don't want me to say this. But
well,
I'm going to
stop
share
you halfway through because halfway. I told you get one and a half.
I'm going to tell everybody what happened to us last week.
Oh, gosh.
If that's okay.
Yes, and I feel so bad, but yes, go up, please. We have okay to explain.
So Lindsay and I got together and we recorded, and we recorded for a long time.
A monster episode.
It was a huge episode, a huge, like, Halloween scary episode, and it was about demons. And, like, you will never get to hear the story because, like, we were feeling a little creeped out just telling the story and talking about it. It's a very scary story. And then, like, the recording just disappeared. Like, we couldn't find it. We know we watched it recording. We know,
yep,
we hit save.
Because we check frequently. We're watching the counter as we talk to our phones and hit the button at the end. And then I went to edit on Sunday and put it all together, and it was gone.
Yeah. And Lindsay and I were texting each other, is this a sign? Is,
yeah,
this like...
I think we're just not supposed to talk,
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, and then we were like, well, we don't want to re-record it because it was so... So the story, if you want to look it up on your own, is the story of LaToya Ammons in Gary, Indiana. And her house had supposedly 200 demons and there was demon possession involved. It's a fascinating story. It's a scary story. But you need to go somewhere else to hear it.
Yeah, you ain't going to get it here.
Nope.
We even set positive intention before. We, yeah, talked about it in our recording. And the kooky weird thing was that Amanda told me what she was going to talk about. And I literally had just finished a podcast as I drove up to meet with Amanda. Finished a podcast on Morbid all about it. The same exact story. And I'd never heard about it before that day. So... there was definitely, whether you believe in coincidence or not, there was something going on in the universe that with that story that day. But it felt a little ooky spooky while we were talking about,
yep,
it. To me, it just felt like, and then when the recording wasn't there, it was almost like, first of all, I felt like an idiot. But also, maybe we should just heed that,
yep,
as a sign.
Yeah.
So, we apologize for no long episode this last week.
But that's how it goes.
Yeah, but we have started new little mini episodes that we are calling Eerie Extra Credit, because get it? This is the paranormal classroom, so you can get your eerie extra credit with little bonuses of things that we talk about within our greater episode chats, but they really don't have anything to do with that specific topic. They're tangent, so it's a bunch of tangents that we'll start cranking
out. We go on
out
tangents a lot, so
Lindsay's
trying to collect those for you. All right, we're going to get into my story today.
Can't wait.
I'm going to give you a choice. I actually have, like, several stories already ready to go.
I know, you've said that. So I don't know how you do that.
I really read a lot, and I'm really, I, like, hyper-focus sometimes.
Okay.
And very nerdy.
So,
here, you get a choice of two. Do you want to hear a story about UFOs, a UFO story, or do you want to hear a story about a mass hysteria? They're both good, funny.
And I've heard lots of stories about both of those topics. But I'm going to go with my gut, which is UFO story.
Okay. Then we'll save the other one for another time.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. I want you to imagine you're outside at school, okay?
Okay.
Maybe you're supervising recess, or maybe you're outside doing something like an egg drop, like some experiment.
Okay.
And you and your entire class see a UFO over the trees.
Awesome.
What would you do? Can you, like, imagine?
Oh, yeah. It'd be amazing. It'd be awesome.
You'd be happy about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. I mean, sitting from the safe comfort of my car with no UFO hovering over the trees right now, I can say I'd be excited and happy about it, but I think my mama bear teacher mode would probably kick in and I'd be protective.
Sure.
Instinctively, just like, okay, what is that? And I have all these children that I'm responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that I would try to record it, capture it, somehow collect data so that I have evidence of it. But also first and foremost, I have to protect.
That's our number
children.
One job is safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I guess that would run through my head, but I'm worried I'd be so distracted.
Yeah.
By the UFO that I might even forget kids are around me. Like,
right.
I
mean, you get a fly, house fly in your classroom and it is bedlam for like 10 minutes and then off and on
so
distraction until someone captures and releases the fly safely outside, yeah. squashes the fly, God forbid, or somehow the fly just yeah. leaves on its own free will. You can watch their little eyeballs like flit around the room watching the fly, not listening to or attending to anything I'm trying to teach in the moment. So a UFO is hovering over the trees. I'll be lucky to get any of them to follow me anywhere. I will it. Cease to exist in their little brains.
Yeah, you would. Oh, that'd be... I like thinking about what all, like all the people that we work with, all our friends and all our colleagues, and how I think everyone would react differently.
There'd be a lot of swearing, and you normally don't hear much swearing at school, but I think there'd be a lot of holy S's and WTFs yep. flying around.
Yep. And I can see people, like some people are kind of have an aggressive energy. I could see them mm-hmm. kind of running toward it and shouting at the kids, like, get back inside. And then I could see other people who'd be really timid and like run
yeah, fend for themselves. They're out. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know what, nobody really knows what they would do unless they've encountered something like that, whether you're going to yeah. freeze, flee, or fight.
Right.
You don't know.
Okay, so this story takes place in Australia. We're going to Australia.
Aussies. All right.
1966.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I think it helps to know a lot of, like, the area and the year, because you can... I'm mm-hmm. super visual, so I get kind of a visual of, like, mm-hmm. you know, they're wearing bell-bottoms or
right. whatever, 60s. Yeah, 60s Australia, I'm not super familiar with.
I don't know. I actually don't know. Maybe they didn't wear bell-bottoms and listen to the Beatles and...
Probably not. Maybe. Because there's definitely British influence, obviously, Australia. Yeah. But... I don't know.
If you know what Australia was like in the 60s.
Do tell.
Tell us all about it. This is called the Westall UFO incident. Super famous. Have you heard of it?
I don't think so.
Hey, I like to tell you stories you haven't heard of.
I love it.
This is one of Australia's most famous incidents because of all the witnesses. They had over 200 witnesses for this event.
Seems legit.
Yeah, it's really, really a lot of people. And most of those 200 witnesses were children from the school.
Maybe not so legit. You and I know how credible a child witness is.
But it's not just kids. It's, it was teachers and the police officers and neighbors in the neighborhood. And
yeah, witness testimony is never super accurate for anything at any age and stage, but little kids, man.
I know, but it's like the perfect story for us.
So okay,
I'm
super
excited to tell you. It takes place in Westall, which is a small suburb of the big city Melbourne.
Melbourne,
Australia. And it was Westall High School.
Here, these are high school
they're
kids.
High schoolers, so a little more credible.
Okay, yeah. And they don't want to look stupid. So if it weren't real, they don't want to look crazy. They want to fly under the radar as much as possible. Most of them. So, yeah, that's a different story than elementary kids.
Yeah, but here's something super weird that I was looking up when I was doing research. So in Australia, they call it a high school, but they also call it a secondary college. So when I was reading articles about it, it kept saying secondary college. And I'm like, what the heck is this? It's not. Secondary college was like junior high. To early high school. And then they have senior college, which is 11th and 12th grade.
Oh, so it's like junior high and senior high school.
Yeah, but they call it college. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I think that's a British thing, I think.
Oh.
I think that's a UK thing. And colegio in Mexico as well. Colegio, which would translate to college, is like the high school level.
Oh, so it's a thing. I had just never heard of it. Yeah, I was like, what are these like... 13-year-olds going to college? I couldn't, like...
It's a town full of prodigies and geniuses.
Way to go, Westall.
Doing something right.
Okay, so, you know I love evidence, and I love witnesses. Mm-hmm. Again, there were more than 200 witnesses who saw this flying saucer hovering over the school, but also making erratic movements. You know? Mm-hmm. You know, the weird, like, physics-defying movements mm-hmm. where you're like, this is not a balloon. This is not...
Right.
Yeah.
Too fast, too straight lines. Yeah. From here to there really fast. Yeah.
It was hovering over the school for 20 minutes.
That's a long time.
I know. It's enough
time
to run
and grab a camera. I mean, you could get a sketch artist out there to do a full, like, full color graphic novel in that amount of time of what happened. That's a long ass time.
I know. I mean, you could definitely run and grab a camera for sure. And like, people.
I could even run and grab a camera. And I don't run.
You're hilarious.
Like, I thought she said she was gonna run.
at one of the kids, one of the like athletic kids.
Go get it.
Go get my camera.
Where is it?
That's what I do to my kids when I'm upstairs and I'm tired at night and I just don't want to move my body. Bring me milk.
We need those bells like they have in like Downton Abbey. Ding a ding a ding a ding.
Yeah.
I would abuse those so hard.
My family makes fun of me so
much. Now it's just cell phones texting them downstairs.
I love it. Okay, so this was in the morning before recess. And again, I have a lot of questions that I wasn't able to figure out.
They get recess even.
That's okay. What I'm like, why would junior and high schoolers get recess? That's maybe my first.
Maybe they call it a recess, but it's just like a break or it's like a.
Yeah.
But also, they should get recess. We should be giving our teenagers recess.
Yes. Everyone needs recess and breaks. Yeah. So maybe they did that in Australia in the 60s. Or maybe recess means something different.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that means lunch.
Yeah, what I also think is weird is a lot of people were outside at the time, but they're saying this was before recess. To me, recess is the only time you're outside.
Unless it's in a transition and it's exterior doors. So, like, you have to go from one class to another and it's outside.
Okay. Thank you.
Because it's probably warm.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know. I've never been to Melbourne, but it seems like it would be warmer than here.
I think so.
Might be more exterior doors.
Yeah, I think so. Don't they get like crazy bugs and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Australia, the entire continent is just trying to kill you. It's like Texas and Florida. Giant bugs. Ugh.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I just have a note here because I think it's really fun to think about who would stay and watch through the window, who would run outside.
Yeah, I'm picturing it happening at my school.
And yeah. Who's calling the police? And what are, like, the kindergarten teachers doing versus the fifth graders? Because your kids are very different, like, developmentally.
I think you'd have a lot of fifth graders that wouldn't want to go back inside.
Yeah.
And kindergartners who would be dying to go back inside.
Yeah.
The older we get, I think we hang in there perhaps even a little too long to try to make it make sense.
And what you're describing, I think, kind of sounds like what they described. Because they described it was just, like, not chaos, but there was a lot of movement and noise because people were either running out the building or running in the building. They were like telling people, hey, get out here, come check this out, or hey,
but
get
also
inside.
Yeah,
and talking to each other like, you know, can you believe what we're seeing?
You can't drill for that.
No,
like, we have fire drills, and unfortunately we have lockdown drills for active shooter situations and earthquake drills, but you're not going to have a UFO on campus drill.
I think they would call it lockdown. I think they would be like, get everybody in the building and lock it. That's what I think they would do today.
Yeah. It would be an automatic perceived threat.
Yeah.
I agree.
Everybody described the UFO in their own way, but similar. So, like, for example, one person would say it was silver and another would say it was gray.
Sure.
One person would say it was hovering and made no sounds, but moving a little. And other people were able to describe the movement really specifically, you know, like defying physics, kind of playing peekaboo, and then at the very end it like shot off into the sky at a speed that's impossible. There's been some other stories of UFOs that played peekaboo. There was something called the Shag Harbor incident, which was in Canada over the water, and same thing, that the tons of witnesses, and they all explained it doing that like darting around weird defying physics thing and kind of playing peekaboo. And then there was another one in the UK where the military saw this one, and they have lots of, like, military reports about it, and that was called the Rendlesham Forest Incident.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
You heard of that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like some of these UFOs should have a, like I have on the back of my car right now, because one of my children is learning how to drive. The student driver, please be patient. And that's what it is. It's just a teenage extraterrestrial learning how to drive the thing, and they're like, sorry.
That is so funny. I'm trying to park. I can't parallel park it.
Crap, that's reverse.
It'd be like me. Like, I was trying to parallel park. I remember my dad took me, and I'd have to, like, do it 12 times. Forward, back, forward, back. I can't get it. Maybe that's what the UFO was doing. Okay, so lots of witness accounts. Mr. Andrew Greenfeld was one of the teachers who felt compelled to go outside. Like, he explains he had this weird, like, compelled sensation. Something was pulling him. He walked
between his herbology classes.
I don't know.
Mr. Greenfeld. He totally works at Hogwarts.
Oh, absolutely.
And he felt compelled.
Now I'm just picturing this whole thing as Hogwarts. And Luna Lovegood's there.
She's standing out in the field.
I can talk to her with my eye.
Yep. With my mind.
So yeah, he's describing as he's walking toward it, there's just like students who are pointing and talking and like a lot of chattering. And there was a guy named Sean Matthews who was not at this, he didn't work at the school or go to the school. He was on
nothing suspicious about that.
He was on vacation nearby, like okay, maybe renting a house or something. So lots of people who were near the school in houses and stuff, they saw it. And he said it was twice the size of a family car.
Okay.
To give you like an idea of how big it is. And then, this is weird. So a bunch of students said they went, after it like disappeared and shot off, they went out into the woods and they found a circle of grass. And they described it different ways, but similarly. Some said it was burnt, some said it was boiled, and some said it was just pressed down. So it was something like those three things.
Yeah.
But what's funny is the guy that owned the land back there behind the school, the landowner, he was like annoyed at everybody coming to check out his field. And he ended up burning the whole field, which I think is really suspicious.
That's extreme.
It's extreme.
Like, it's your private property. You're annoyed that people are trespassing. So you're going to destroy your own property?
Yeah,
that
well,
just doesn't, the logic is not there.
The logic isn't there.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, which is why, like, there could have been a cover-up. And maybe somebody had him burn it or burnt it. Yeah. Because you're right. Why would you do that? It's evidence. Why would you?
Well, and it's your property.
Yeah.
You don't set your property on fire.
No.
I mean, not unless it's like slash and burn time for your crops or rotation or whatever, but you don't just go, get out of here, you mangy kids.
Get off my property.
Blow torch your property to keep people away. Stupid.
Well, that's who this guy was.
A cover up. That sounds, that probably is likely.
Yeah. And several witnesses also said that as the UFO like took off fast, then they saw a bunch of planes later, like going in that same direction, like they were following it or something.
They had air traffic control. They were watching the skies.
Yeah.
You would hope somebody would do something.
Yeah. I wonder how our kids would describe seeing something like this.
I'm telling you, I give the same directions to the same kids at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And every single one of them will turn in something radically different from all the others. Exhibit A. We're doing flags, American flag coloring sheets in kindergarten this week for Veterans Day.
Okay.
To hang on the walls next to the stage for our assembly.
Okay.
And I have an American flag in my classroom that I unfurl so that they can see it. I have one on the computer screen up on the TV. I have my example of the exact same coloring sheet completed because I'm trying to teach them about the blue background of the bed for the Field of Stars, and then the symbolism of the red and white stripes and how many there are and in what order, and then the pattern of it because they're, you know, in kindergarten.
Yeah.
You would not believe the diversity of the flags that get turned in.
I can imagine. Like pure purple ones outside the lines.
So ask them to draw a picture of something they have no frame of reference for.
Yeah.
And a spaceship, a UFO, UAP that is doing movements that makes no sense to them.
Yeah.
And you want them to now draw a picture of it or describe it in any way. Forget about it.
No. And probably that's why people are like, oh, this isn't real. Because everyone would have a little slightly different tellings.
Spend a day in my classroom. It'll make perfect sense.
Yeah. But these kids are older too. But I guess maybe that's just human
experience. It's the same.
Experience.
It's the same at any age. Witness testimony. Like, it's just always off.
Oh, yeah. I know I've seen, like, tons of crime shows and documentaries and TV things where people pick the wrong person all the time. Like, witness testimony is not super reliable in the courtroom, right?
No, it's not. Our witness testimony as married couples is not the same.
That's so
weird. You'll experience the same. Doesn't this happen to you? You'll experience the same thing, you and your spouse, but you'll remember it very differently.
Yes.
Like, 24 hours after the event.
Yeah.
Well, this happened. No, this happened. Well, so-and-so was wearing this or they were. No, they were not.
Yeah.
I said this. No, you didn't say that. I said that. Like.
Yeah.
So
I can give you an example.
With a whole group of people.
I'll give you an example. This just happened to me this week. So when my daughter was really little, we went out for the 4th of July and I had her on my shoulders. She's like 2 years old. And we went to this 4th of July event where the fireworks were really close.
Ugh.
And so the firework little embers and the little ashes were coming down on us. And like you said, you don't know how you're going to react in any kind of situation. And we weren't like in immediate danger, but just little things were falling down. And my daughter was on my shoulders, and like the embers and the ash are hitting her, and they're hitting me. And I didn't pull her down off my shoulders. I probably should have, but I didn't. Well, the way my husband tells the story, he tells it as like I used her as a human shield. And he laughs hysterically about it because he thinks it's like the cruelest, most hysterical, crazy thing that I've ever done. It. And I'm like, that's not my version of the story.
That's 100% out of character for you.
But he uses it as one of his like, you know, funny stories that you keep in your pocket at parties. And you're like, oh, guess what my wife did, you know. It's not my favorite story. You're making a face because you're like, it's not a good story.
I'm annoyed by that. Yeah. But for you, I'm annoyed because there's no way. Like, again, as we joked a couple episodes ago about telling kids that La Llorona is going to get them. Like, mm-hmm. Can you threaten kids with that? You would never, I might be tempted. You would never use a child, anybody's child, as a shield to protect yourself. Whereas I'm not 100% certain I wouldn't. There's a part, I'm going to be honest, I have to be self-reflective. There's a part of me that might instinctively, and then I'd be like, oh crap, I'm using my kid as a human shield. Like, and then I would adjust.
Yeah.
But I think first things first is if we're in a haunted house, if we're anywhere where there's going to be spiders coming out of the walls.
Yeah.
There's a strong chance, I don't care who's next to me, if it's my own child, I'm going to push them in front of me and run the other way. I just know myself.
That's so funny. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my story. I get what you're saying. Okay.
Witness testimony is not trustworthy.
Let's get into the cover-up, or the possible cover-up. Immediately after the sighting, military authorities and men in suits come to the school.
Men in black. Classic men in black.
And they're referred to as soldiers in some of the tellings. So the soldiers were asking questions and instructing students not to say anything and to keep the secret government exercise a secret.
Mm-mm. Adults should never tell children to keep secrets. First of all,
creepy for sure. Yes.
Adults should never ask children for help. Mm-hmm. Like strangers should never ask children they don't know for help. And they should never ask kids to keep secrets.
Right.
Surprises are okay. Secrets are not.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, okay, mister. 100% telling everybody I know this. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do about it? Put me, little kid, in jail? Even as a high schooler, you're not, or a senior college, whatever, student. You're not going to arrest me for telling a story about something I experienced.
Yeah, and you really can't control the situation. Like you said,
200
like
people saw it.
200 people, and a lot of them are teenagers who are defiant and like,
yeah.
You know, they just want their own autonomy.
And it's the 60s.
And it's the 60s.
So defiance on steroids.
Yep. So I don't know what they were thinking coming in and being like, hey, could you guys just not tell anybody about this?
Just pretend you didn't see anything. Sure.
Sure.
Roger that, bucko.
Well, some of them did keep it secret, and some of them did, that come out with the story. And sure, over the years, more and more have come out as they feel safer and they're like, you know, there's no consequence. I'm going to tell my side of the story.
Good.
So, yeah. That's what they said. Secret government exercise is what they called it. And that for national security reasons, they were forbidden from speaking about it.
Dumb.
Yeah. And there's also rumors that some teachers took pictures of it because it was there for 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
and their cameras were confiscated.
Not surprised, but annoyed. That's my face right now.
Yeah.
That the whole thing of like, well, it's a national security issue. What are we going to do? Right. Like, what's going to happen? If there's aliens flying around, there is nothing we can do about it. If the aliens are the threat or the extraterrestrials are a threat, well, it's a little too late. Like, what am I going to do to prevent that?
Right.
Talking about it certainly isn't going to stop whatever they might have in mind if it's negative. Now, are we worried that people might panic? People are going to panic when the aliens show up again. I don't understand why we would say it's an issue of national security.
I don't understand.
It doesn't make any
sense. I don't
understand
why we don't talk about these experiences.
I don't either.
More in
what are we afraid is going to happen?
Someone must be afraid of something, but I and they're not telling it for whatever reason, but I need to know what it is because
it's like
it doesn't make sense.
You tell us, we all panic. We all go, oh my God, what are we all going to do?
And then we get over it.
There's nowhere we can go.
Yeah.
Like, hop in our giant space shuttles and go to Mars. Nobody can do that.
I don't know what they think people are going to do. They're thinking people are going to like riot or go insane or jump off bridges? Like, what? Nobody's got time for that.
I'm not rioting or doing anything until the aliens show up. Like, you got to just go about your life.
Do you remember when they released the videos from the Air Force about, like, the Nimitz incident or whatever it's called? Yeah. And it was, like, in the news. It was in every major newspaper. It was very much like, yeah, this is a UFO, and our Air Force saw it, and here's the footage. And everybody was, like, just and? Went on with their day.
Right. And what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Until it affects me directly. I guess I'm not, which is a I don't mean that as a commentary for everything in life,
mm-hmm.
but with, like, UFOs flying around, I'm not going to panic about that.
Right.
And I can't do anything about it, personally.
Right.
Even if I had Uzis and cannons, first of all, I don't think I would use them just as a precaution, because mm-hmm. that's stupid. Mm-hmm. What if they're here on, you know, good humanitarian work or whatever?
Yeah.
But also, even if they did attack, and I try to, me, myself, try to fight back.
What can you do? They're, like, infinitely smarter than us, right?
Probably. So, if they can get here and we can't get to them, then probably.
I like to think, like, I have a more positive outlook on them, I don't know if I'm, like, making myself think that they're gentle and kind and helpful or just observing us as opposed to, like, wanting to hurt us, because the thought of it's just too scary and creepy. So I've, like, made up my mind that I'm going to choose the more positive one. But I don't know.
And so I agree with you. I do the same thing. I feel like if they wanted to destroy us quickly, they would have done it already.
Yeah.
If they're destroying us slowly, like if, let's say, extraterrestrials are somehow pulling the puppet strings mm-hmm. of the fall of humankind or whatever on mm-hmm. the planet, that's a long game.
Yeah, they're in.
And there's nothing I can do about that.
No.
Either way, there's nothing I can do about it right now.
Right. I don't know.
I'm more afraid of people I can see walking around.
For sure.
Yeah, no, it's strange.
So when they come in and they're like, don't talk about it, then there's theories that run around. And I don't know who puts out these theories. Like, are the men in black calling the newspapers and being like, tell people it's this. For example, there were rumors that it was just a military aircraft. Like, mm-hmm. a military aircraft that nobody knows about. Maybe it's used for espionage or something. And they were testing it out and... It's ours, but we can't talk about it. That's one theory.
Or like Roswell, that it was weather. Was it Roswell that was tried to say it was a weather balloon?
They a bunch of them are weather balloons.
Yeah.
I looked up weather balloons in the 1966 specifically to see what they look like. There are several that are silver, but mm-hmm. they don't have that same disc shape.
No.
They're round on top, but then they get much skinnier as they come down toward the bottom.
And they don't fly in unexplainable manners.
Yes.
It's pretty slow.
They don't take off super fast.
They float like a, you guessed it, balloon.
I think that telling people it's a weather balloon, you got to be thinking people are really stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the government assumes we're stupid anyway.
Yeah, maybe.
And most of us are. Most of us want to feign ignorance too, time to just do our daily lives. We have our own things, our own stressors. Most people don't have time to worry about other stressors outside of what affects them immediately.
I get that. Yeah.
So they could be intelligent, but just too stressed out to care.
Yeah, I've seen that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Some people also thought it could have been a mass hallucination. The mass hallucination theory also, I don't get it. I don't mm-hmm. understand how you can justify or say that hundreds of people had the same hallucination.
Yeah, because now, you know what? I'm not worried about UFOs. I'm worried about whatever the is in the air that I'm breathing or the water that I'm drinking that's giving everybody a mass hallucination.
Yeah.
That seems more threatening than a UFO hovering above my screen.
Right.
And we should be talking about that then, government.
Basically, that's the end of my story. In 2006, they did have a witness reunion at the tennis club.
I love that! Oh, God, what I wouldn't give to go to one of those.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, isn't it? And people can, like, talk about what they remember from
and they're 40 old enough.
Years
like,
ago.
The older we get, the fewer Fs we have to give.
Yeah.
Like, they're all gathered around, like, spill it. Because nothing bad's happened to us yet. This happened. Let's just be real.
Yes, for sure.
Cheers to us.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a fun party to be at.
Maybe they'll do it again. They'll have a 60-year reunion in 2026.
You could put it out in the universe to manifest that we get to go to the reunion of the West Hall UFO sighting
mm-hmm.
witnesses. Yeah. That would be fun.
Yes.
It'd be really fun. Would you want to see a UFO, like right now, sitting in this dark car at night? Would you want to have one just like fly up?
Yes,
fly up?
I want to see one every now and then. And by every now and then, I mean this happens often. I'll be driving in my car and I'll just think, man, I wish I could see a UFO just flip by right now.
Have you ever seen one?
Or on an airplane. I have not, that I know of.
I have
ever
once.
Seen one. Tell us about it.
It was cool because I was visiting my mom in Arizona, and it was the first time my mom had moved to Arizona not too far before this. And so my family went down to visit her. And I was like dead set. I want to see a UFO. I want to see a UFO because there's so many sightings in that area. She lives outside Phoenix.
Yes.
So many sightings over decades and decades. And we're standing in her backyard. It was one of those beautiful Arizona spring nights. Beautiful sky, clear sky. Stars are not out yet. And just above like where the power line is, like if you have the electric poles, power poles and the power lines, just above that kind of height, but off in the distance, there was this object that was lit up. And it was sort of like, it was longer than it was wide.
Okay.
And sort of like that. It was definitely not shaped like that. It was sort of shaped like, you know, like in Christmas pageants, that star that's like long, but then like it's almost like pointy, like a regular, like a geometric star, but it only has the four points, right? And it's longer than it is wide. It was sort of shaped like that, and it was way far away, so it looked like it was about an inch long from my my viewpoint. But and then I just watched it, and it would like just sort of hover because I could see the power line, so I could see it like move above and below this power line, but way far off beyond the power line. But that's how I knew it wasn't stationary, like a star.
And you're sure the power line wasn't like bouncing in the wind?
There was no wind, no breeze. This was just a still stale spring evening in just outside Phoenix. And so I'm like, and I have it on video. I should show you sometime. I videoed it. So it's
did
not.
Did it like dart off at the end? Like
it just disappeared.
Maybe that's because it darted off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't see it move away. Just all of a sudden, it just wasn't there anymore. But it wasn't moving across the sky. It wasn't. It was within the atmosphere. Like it wasn't a satellite. It wasn't out in space. Yeah. It was close enough that I could recognize it as an aerial object of some kind. But it wasn't moving like an airplane or had no blinking lights.
Right.
Just a solid sort of light. And I just knew. I was like, well, and there's my UFO that I wanted.
Right.
Cool, cool, cool.
Right. If it were a military vehicle, why wouldn't they come out? Even if it's a secret one, right? That they're designing and they don't want anyone to know the plans. Even if it was that, why wouldn't they come out and say, hey, this is a secret? They don't even ever come out and be like, we made this, but we can't talk about it. They always say it's something else, like the weather balloon or the kite or
what. I feel that way a lot about in any organization, whether it be your family, work, church, other organization. If you are not transparent about the truth, rumors will spread like wildfire, and it's worse.
Well, they must know that because they have psychologists and psychiatrists that work for them. Why wouldn't they... and social scientists, why wouldn't they know that they're causing more doubt and suspicion?
I don't know. Maybe that's the whole gig, is that if you get so many rumors going and so, then nobody believes anything anymore. It just becomes like urban
legend.
That's
a problem, yeah.
Which is, I mean, look at what's happened.
Yes.
To our country.
Right.
Is when you just, if you pump out enough false narratives... It's very divisive. Mm-hmm. Nobody believes anybody. Nobody believes the sources of information
anymore.
There's
distrust everywhere.
Yeah, and as long as people, if they distrust you, they're not going to believe anything you say. And so you could say whatever, and they're also not going to disbelieve anything you say. It's just meh.
Yeah.
It's just neutral. Everything cancels everything out. So you can kind of just do whatever you want to do. And what's anybody going to do about it?
I don't know.
Because no one's going to get together in agreement.
I don't know. But I didn't mean to change subjects. Your story is incredible. And it's cool that you got video.
So you can change the subject.
I just changed subject back. Like, I feel like I didn't respond to your story.
Oh, no,
your story
good.
Is really amazing. Oh, I want that experience.
I'll find that video and share it with you.
Yes, please. Drop us a message at theparanormalclassroom@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Paranormal Classroom. Class dismissed.
And don't open the door.